You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, inside Ben Davis Football. I am your host, Corey Revington. Right now I'm joined by Mr. John Easter. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, good evening.
I'm also being joined just now by Mr. Jeff Robinson.
Hey, it was month end at work. I do accounting for my real job. So.
it's glad to have you here. And I'm also being joined by the main man himself, Coach Mike Kirshner. How you doing, Coach?
Good, good. Good to be back at Arby's. Good teased evening.
Yeah, so first question, what happened against Avon this week?
What didn't happen?
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a little bit of everything. You know, we came out, I thought jumped on him pretty quick. He got the fumble off the punt, scored quick with a pass from Ajay Cooper and got up 7-0, and they kind of did what we thought they'd do. You know, Brandon Peters is a All-State quarterback, Indiana Hall of Fame, really, quarterback, when you probably been looking at all the records and everything he's done. He kind of diced us up, went down, made it 7-7. We came right back, hit another one, made it 14-7. He come right back and tied it up at 14, and then we kind of sputtered a little bit on offense, and they got the lead, and 21-14 kicked off, and Jordan Wilkerson made a great return and tied the game back at 21. And then they kind of went back down, and we were struggling. We were struggling to get some pressure on Brandon Peters. We were struggling to stop their passing attack, and we were trying some different things defensively, and they were taking advantage of some things we were giving up. And they went up 28-21, and one of the big turning points in the first half was they were driving right before half and had some penalties that took them out of it. Otherwise, they might have gone up 35-21. But we were down 28-21 and a half. We made some adjustments at halftime. I thought our kids played a little harder in the second half. And, in fact, they didn't score in the third quarter. We were able to tie it at 28. And then they were able to get the lead. And then we tied it at 35. And then I thought another big momentum switch was we made a pick down in their back end of the end zone. Or back into the field, started at the 5, and we weren't able to punch it in. We missed a field goal. The momentum kind of shifted back. They went down and scored. We were kind of working the ball up the field, got it out to about midfield, and then Chris Evans made an unbelievable play off a screen pass, and we got the lead back, but we tied it at 42, and we really didn't you know, I really wasn't real confident we would be able to stop him. And then we had a big hit by linebacker Will Pate, popped the ball in the air out of the quarterback's hand, and LaShawn Miner, you know, one hand grabbed it with his left hand and raced 70 yards for a touchdown and ended up being the game winner. Finished with a big sack by Kalen Guillory. So, overall, we did some good things. I thought our special teams played well. We recovered a punt. A fumbled punt. We ran a kickoff back. We punted extremely well. Story Emerson had a 71-yard punt. We averaged about 50 on the night from punts. So I thought our special teams did well. And at times our defense played well, and at times our offense played well. What we lacked was consistency. And that was a combination of Avon being really good and them making it so you can't be consistent, and us making mistakes, being young. You know, at one point on our offense, we had out there playing in the third quarter four seniors, four juniors, and three sophomores playing on the offense. And when you're doing that and you're that young and you're playing a team that's running 8-9 seniors on their defense, you're probably going to get caught at different times. And they're good. Mark does a great job. They're well coached. And if we were fortunate enough to get them again in the tournament, it'll be a tough one to handle.
I'm glad you mentioned the word consistency, because – one thing I questioned in terms of whenever I was looking at your offense, you had the big play ability, but you struggled getting a consistent drive going.
Yeah, unlike last year where we were able to run 20, 25 first downs a game, move the chains, keep things going, we have some big play capabilities. We can throw the ball long. We got kids who can run really well, you know, four or five different receivers who run there. The disappointing thing was our inability to run the ball. They were loading up the box. They had a three-man front. They were bringing two linebackers on almost every play. They were keeping six in the box. And if you're going to keep six in the box with us spread, the coaching tells you need to throw the ball. And we were doing that. But at times we threw well, and at times we dropped them. At times we made the wrong read. The quarterback made the wrong read. But, again, you know, that's Ajay Cooper's second start. And Alfonso Johnson rotates in there, and that was his second start. So lack of experience was attributed to some of that. And we've got to get better, or the outcome will not be what we want it to be this Friday.
Coach, you mentioned Ajay Cooper there in that segment. To me, it seemed like he kind of took a big step forward in the quarterback race. But are you going to continue with kind of what you've been doing? Or
That remains to be seen. Did he take a step forward? Yeah, but there was some things that weren't good that maybe – the person in the stands doesn't see. And when Coach Ferris gets done breaking the film, and, you know, he did this well and he did that well, and Ajay did these things well, but there was these 12 plays that if he'd have done what he was supposed to instead of punting, mm-hmm. we might be scoring. And so what the fan sees, did he do some great things? Yes. And does he have great potential? Yes. Does he have to get a whole lot better? Absolutely.
One of the biggest turning points for me was, like you said, that drive right before the half where – there was a chance for Avon to go up 14 and just 7. What was the mood at halftime, and how big was that for your guys to kind of kill off that drive?
Well, the mood at halftime wasn't bad. I mean, our kids were most of these kids have been in something similar to this, or at least watched it from the sideline last fall, where they'd watched us be in a similar situation on multiple occasions. So there was no panic in our kids or panic in our coaches. Our coaches are a well-seasoned staff. It was more of, we got to do what we're asking you to do. We're making mistakes that aren't characteristic of us, and we need to fix them. And like I said, I thought we played harder. We had some nice we shut them down in the third quarter, got the offense the ball. We were able to tie it, which kept the momentum from shifting a little bit too far one way, because if Avon had come out and scored a couple right away, we would probably not have recovered. So our ability to slow them down in the third quarter, I thought, was big. So I thought our kids took to the coaching and ran with it.
This seemed like another continuation of really some of the special moments that you had pulling out games during last year's tournament. Talk about how much experience mattered, especially in such a fiercely competitive game early in the season.
Yeah, when you have to play a team of their caliber this early, and they're senior loaded, and you know, Mark's got a great senior group, Griffin Kidd, and Fitzgerald, I know, is a junior, but he's awesome, and a Campbell, the other DB, and obviously Brandon Peters and a couple offensive linemen. But it was one of those things. Was there carryover from last year? I think so. You know, I don't know necessarily what goes through our kids' head. I know that winning from history breeds winning. You know, and you make that run last year, you win the state title. Sometimes your kids are maybe not as good as they think they are, but they're playing better than they are because that's what we're supposed to do. And so I don't think it hurt being out there and knowing that we'd been in situations. Darius Randolph had been in that situation. Deontay Redfield in the state finals. Will Pate started up starting the last two, three games of the season. Quentin Tyler, Jaleel Brewer, both started games all last year. So those guys had been in that battle, so to speak.
At the same time, how do you explain being fortunate enough to have the situation with Miner's interception and Pate's hit there, and even Chris Evans with that play on the screen pass?
Yeah. Some people might say you're lucky. Some people might say, you know what, we made a play when we had to. Chris really had – they'd done a good job bottling Chris up all night. Chris really couldn't get going in the passing game, the running game. We hit him on that screen, and he made a great run. His last move down towards the 5-yard line.
Oh, my gosh.
I think somebody put it on YouTube. I think it's had thousands and thousands of views.
Even the cutback from right to left was something special.
I mean, he went this way, and you just – not coachable. You know, that's one of those things. And somebody said, well, we got lucky on the last touchdown. Well, you know, we blitzed our linebacker. Our linebacker makes a play. A defensive tackle makes a one-handed, left-handed grab. He's sprinting 70 yards, and there's nobody catching up with him. So I don't want to look at those as luck. I want to look at that's what we want our kids to do. We want our kids to make plays. You know, we want them to step up and do things that are special. And that was a special pay for those guys, Peyton Miner.
And we had obviously lots of media there at the game. Jeff was there with his flyer hat on, so we appreciate that. But also Brian Scott was there, and Dave Shelbourne calling it for the Avon Audio Sports Online, and then Jerry Baker and Big Jan Bozer were up in our booth next to us. It was always great to have Jerry Baker there. And just by the way, thanks to Jerry Baker for spending about 20 minutes with my kids before the game. That was unbelievable, and I hope that I said to Corey, I said, I hope you know who you just talked to, because that's Jerry Baker. But I was talking to Brian Scott after the game, and he said that it was one of the first times he could remember calling a game that you knew while you were calling it that it was going to be an instant classic between these two games. So how do you, you know, for my guys, this was like just like another game, because it was the, you know, instant classic is the first one they've ever called. But yet, as a coach, now you're talking about, you know, going back to last year, talking about Center Grove and Warren Central were very much like this.
Yep.
The state game where you're down 17, come roaring back. The Pike sectional game even was a little bit like this. The Pike regular season game last year.
53-50.
At some point, as a coach, you wake up and you say, gosh, this has been a pretty special run.
Yeah, well, yeah, you want to cherish them. I mean, they don't happen very often.
You don't cherish them in the moment, probably.
No, because you're always thinking about the next one. You know,
right.
You know, I went out to eat with my family after the game Friday, and I didn't eat. I can't eat after games. I sat there and had something to drink and some Diet Mountain Dew, and you just kind of talk. Coach Delahan and his wife Antoinette joined us, and we just kind of reminisced. He asked how I'm doing. I said, you know, The toughest part about coaching, Coach D, and you know this, is I'm enjoying it tonight. I'm not going to go home and go. I went to bed at 3, got up at 5, was back in working. I'm not going to really enjoy it very long, because already in my mind I'm thinking, how good is Pike? You know, how good are we going to have to be? How am I going to fix the things that weren't good? And he's like, well, you got to enjoy it. I said, I am, but it's always on to the next one. The kids get to enjoy it all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Monday they get the attaboys on the back when they're in school, and then they realize they get out there Monday afternoon, and Coach Kerser's not smiling anymore because I wanted to do this, and I got to get them focused and retrained and all that. So it's a very short moment. I would imagine when it's all done and I quit and I walk away, which may be sooner than later, it's one of those things you'll look back and say, wow, that was all right.
Well, you still have a few wins to go to catch Coach Delahan.
Yeah, that ain't happening. We've talked about that before. He has 219, I believe.
213.
213? No. Yeah.
67, no. I think, now.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I don't know. It's not close.
I was lucky enough to cover his 100th and 200th win.
There you go.
Davis.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Jeff alluded to earlier about consistency on the offensive plays, about how we have the big game or big play capabilities. One of the things that I saw that wasn't as consistent as it could be was the offensive line. How do you go into practice and try to fix the consistency of the offensive line?
Well, one thing I was taught a long time ago, when your offensive line is not coming off the ball hitting, you have to go back to some what I call O-line basics. And I was I was an O-lineman in high school and college, and coached O-line at Ben Davis for a number of years. And so you put them back on the boards, you get them back into a fit position, you get them in there, and you do some one-on-one, just pure drive blocking, getting them to think, coming off the ball. You change some drills up, you do a little more inside drill work, getting them to come off the ball. Might even move some kids around this week. You know, we just didn't have the physicality. Now, again, we're young. And I'm going to keep saying that. When I say that, we lost three-year starter Justin Brandon, three-year starter Cache Wilder, and two-year starter Tim Fields on that offensive line. So you lost three kids who've just been around kind of forever, and we don't have them anymore. And so you're playing Ahmad Malone, that was his second start. Pompey Coleman, his second start. Saad Quick, his second start. Well, it's going to take a little bit of time to get them, and if they don't catch up to speed, then we find somebody else. We got good young kids and Dylan Runyon and David Morris who are kind of chomping at the bit to get their shot.
All right, well, we're going to send it back to the studio real quick, and we'll get back with the preview for Pike. So we're going to send it back to the studio real quick for a quick 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
A 50-50 ball. An elbow to the ribs. A sudden flash of tempers. In sports, anything can happen in the heat of the moment. The Indiana High School Athletic Association reminds you that when cooler heads prevail, everybody wins. When the game heats up, will you keep your cool? This message brought to you by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the high schools in your community.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, inside Ben Davis Football. I'm Corey Revington, and I'm joined by Jeff Robinson, John Easter, Mike Kirshner. And Coach, what should we look for this Friday against Pike?
Well, you're going to get what you always get from Pike, which is a very athletic group. Their quarterback, Hawthorne, first-year starter, is very athletic, throws the ball very well, very poised in the pocket, and runs well, which adds another dimension that you got to deal with. He's going to be throwing to four quality receivers. You got Johnny Williams, Cheeseboro. Their numbers are 2, 3, 4, and 5. They're all athletic. They all have big play potential. They can all take it to the house. They all run deep. They all catch the ball well. You're dealing with a really big offensive line. You got Jacob Oglesby on the right tackle, who's 325. You got Noah Burks, the left tackle, who's 315. Very big, very physical offensive line, which is going to give us problems. We're not big up front like they are. That's going to give us problems. They mix their running backs between three guys. The one I'm really impressed with is their linebacker, Aaron Jones. He does some running, kind of like Fitzgerald did for Avon over the weekend. Very tough, very good. On the defensive side, they've changed their scheme. They're a 3-3 stack, and they're blitzing their linebackers, and they're aggressive, and they come downhill, and they return two good outside linebackers in Jones and number 31. They return a Purdue recruit at corner, Josh Hayes, who is just unbelievably awesome. Defensive line that's very athletic. We're gonna have to play faster. We're going to have to play smarter, and we're going to have to be more physical, or we're going to be in trouble.
Just speaking of that fast tempo, what I saw between Pike and Brownsburg that really struck me was Pike's fast tempo. How do you adjust defensively to handle some of those quick changes they make?
Yeah, well, we're used to it because that's what our offense does to us. Every day in practice, our defense has to play against an up-tempo offense that's trying to run a play every 30 seconds. So that isn't the concern. The concern, and this problem we struggle with in practice as well, is when you do play that fast pace, is getting lined up, knowing where your checks are. If they're in this formation, they're giving you this, this, and this. If they give you this formation, and so your brain's got to operate a lot faster. So I'm not worried about the tempo as much as our ability to adjust to what we're trying to do, because they have such big play potential with their kids. Their receivers are so athletic.
You know, Pike, for a while now for Ben Davis, it's kind of been a team that you handled pretty well in the regular season, but have had some trouble in the postseason, and you know that as well as I do. I don't have to remind you. Over time, last year was, get down in the fourth quarter and come back to beat them, as we alluded to in the first half of the program. With the new coach, what are some of the different wrinkles that you see with Coach Graves as opposed to Coach Moyers?
Well, with the offense, not really a whole lot, because he was already calling it. The offense looks pretty much the same as we're used to. Option, draw plays with the quarterback, screens, bubbles, spot screens, verticals, loves the verticals, switching them. It's pretty what we're used to seeing. And they run it very well, and they execute it very well. Defensively is where the change. Eric Paulquette has taken over the defense. He's been on their staff doing different things. He's taken over the defense, and he's put in a 3-3 stack scheme, very similar to what you just saw from Avon, and he's going to bring lots of pressure. He's going to bring backs, and we're going to have to be able to pick it up and handle it.
Just kind of a follow-up, too. You mentioned some similarities to Avon, but I think with the first three teams, you've seen three different kinds of teams that you had to play. Obviously, Tech, and they struggled again this past week against Kokomo. You talk about Avon and how quality Brandon Peters is at the quarterback with everything they bring to the table. but probably a little bit more like Ben Davis in some ways. And then Pike, which, like Ben Davis, also have speed and right. and everything else that you throw into the mix. So those first three opponents, what are you learning about the team, I suppose, at this point?
Well, our first real test was Friday. What we learned is we're not very consistent. We make too many mental mistakes. We gotta shorten the script up a little bit in practice, which is what we're trying to do today to get a little sharper at some of the things we need to be doing. Need to look at our scheme. We analyzed the scheme pretty hard on Monday, or I'm sorry, Sunday in our staff meetings to make sure the scheme is fitting the kids and not trying to make the kids fit the scheme. Obviously Avon exposed some things, but I say all that, and we had close to 300 yards of offense. Quarterbacks threw for 250. We scored 5 offensive touchdowns, a special teams touchdown. So we did some good things, but we got to find some sort of level of consistency in our play and make sure that we're not putting our kids in a position where they can't make the play because they mentally or physically are not capable.
Well, Coach, it looks like we're about to enter one of the toughest stretches of games of what could be this entire season, starting with Pike at home, traveling to Center Grove, and then Warren at home. How do you mentally prepare your players for such a tough stretch of games?
Well, for starters, you can't look at what's next. You can only I know it's an old adage, and you play it one game at a time, but that really is true. If we're sneaking in and talking about Center Grove, then our kids will pick up that Pike is. And so, I'll be honest with you, I haven't even seen a Pike film. I know their scores. I know they're 2-0. I know they beat Warren and Whiteland. Haven't seen a Warren film, don't know anything about them. I know they played Coleraine Saturday night. Somebody said I could have streamed it, didn't care. I was watching Pike film. So you just kind of focus on the process. And right now our focus is getting better and trying to find a way to beat Pike at this point.
Three wildly different teams again.
Yes.
Two quite. From a scheme standpoint.
Yeah.
Week one, Pike scores 55 points. Week two, Pike gets held down to 8 points. Which do you see is more closely to what Pike's offense really levels out at?
Well, you got to look a little bit at the opponent. Pike's offense is not an 8-point offense. Pike's offense is very powerful, very explosive, really good. Do I hope they score 8 only? Absolutely. Could they score 55? Absolutely. They have that kind of big play. Fishers did a nice job. Fishers is well coached. John Judge, the D coordinator there, had a great game plan. We broke it down play by play. I've watched it multiple times. His kids were in the right place, made tackles. They still threw for 300 yards. Pike wasn't able to run the ball very well on Fishers, and that hurt him. But the quarterback threw for 300 and some yards, 3 picks, I believe, and 1 touchdown. So they were able to move the ball, but Fishers does a really nice job, unlike what we did last year, is when they did catch it, they tackled them, and then they made them line up and do it again. Last year when they caught it, it was a house. I mean, they just ran, they run a bubble for 80. They run a fade for 70. They run a seam route for 70. And we don't even touch them, our thing is about being in the right position. If he does catch the 20-yard route, that's okay. Tackle him and make him play another play, And so we just can't give up the home runs, but they have that capability. So it'll be interesting to see what comes Friday.
And Hawthorne also had 366 against Brownsburg in week one, so he's off to a great start.
Yeah, he's got 700 yards in 2 games, no question.
Yeah, I remember last year I was talking to Jeff as the storm was blowing in.
Thank God.
There at Pike last year.
I was at Plainfield that night.
And he was like, "Are you guys still playing?" I was like, "Well, yes, but they're making an announcement." And it was as the storm was blowing in, and it was and you were producing that night.
I was back in the studio. I didn't think I left until about 11:30 at night.
It was a wild game. But, you talk about that game last year, and that was really the first time you kind of felt like, wow, this may be a little bit of a special year, because this isn't quite supposed to happen, where you go down and you get behind and you come back the next day and win the game. So what is it about Pike and Ben Davis, I suppose, and I hope I'm not stepping on the question that you have here, but what is it that brings the best out in both teams?
Well, I'm gonna,
or not the best, but it brings the competitiveness out.
Yeah,
both
it's
teams.
A rivalry. I think the last 10 times we've met, we're 6-4. I think if you go back the last 10 meetings, and I'm going to take it back to Derek Moyers. I don't know if he's out there listening, but I attribute it to him. Prior to Derek getting there, Pike was somebody we'd run into in the tournament occasionally, and, you know, it might be a game for a while, but eventually get the other hand. Derek instilled in those kids a sense of pride and sense of community, and did a nice job getting the athletes, and his scheme fit the athletes. And the next thing you know, his first year there, he won 14 straight before he lost the state championship to Carmel, beat us 20-12 in the sectional, and that kind of took him off from there. And you know, he won while he was there in his 8 years. I think he won 3 sectionals, you know, 1 regional, 1 semi-state, and the state runner-up. So he was very successful. So I attribute it to him building a program, and now Jimmy's taken off and running with it, and Jimmy Graves will do a great job. And so, I think Derek's out there and listening. I attribute it all to him.
All right, well, I asked you last week, what's the biggest challenge of shutting down Brandon Peters? And now you face another very, very talented quarterback in Derek Hawthorne. How can we look for the Giants to try and stop Derek Hawthorne?
We got to get pressure on him. I thought that was a key to our victory in the second half last week, as we were able to get pressure on Brandon Peters. We got to get pressure on Hawthorne. I don't know that we can. Their linemen are so big. It's so hard to get around them. But we've got to create pressure, and we got to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. And then when we flush him out of the pocket, we got to be able to keep him under wraps and keep him from big plays and big runs. Because if he gets hot and he gets a rhythm going, he starts throwing it, it's going to be a long night for the Giants.
You mentioned last week a big difference for Pike was the lack of a running game. Is that an area maybe you could leverage a little bit to your advantage?
Well, I hope, because both of us lacked a running game last week, and so I'm sure both of us are working very hard to establish it. Yeah, who knows? You know, I'm sure they're going to work real hard to make some things happen, and we're going to do the same thing here. So, you know, we're going to try and shut down the running game, you know, but then when they do that, sometimes be careful what you ask for. You shut down the running game, and he throws for 500 yards. So, you know, we're going to have to take care of both. We're going to have to play better. Some of our young kids, our sophomores that were playing on defense, are going to need to grow up here real fast.
Emotionally, where is this team? I know this earlier this week we had loss of a coach, Coach Morris, and I know that's always a tough thing. So
yeah, I think they're okay. We talked about it a little bit after practice last night. They know he's been sick for a while. You know, he started fighting cancer a year and a half, 2 years ago. Had a bad stroke about 6 weeks ago and never really recovered. Mike's going to be missed. He was a 95 grad, played for Coach Delahan. I believe he was number 61 back in the 93-94 era, you know. Started coaching at Chapel Hill, I don't quite remember when, early 2000, somewhere in there, and then joined me on the freshman staff in 2007. He's a good person, good family. He leaves behind a wife and two little kids, and his son plays for the junior Giants right now, and they bleed purple, so he'll be missed.
You mentioned a 95 grad. That just made me feel old, because that was the first season I covered Ben Davis.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah. He graduated in the spring of 95, so good guy.
In the lead up to the game against Pike, do you usually try to treat rivalry games, just try to instill as a feeling of, oh, this is just another game, it's just one more week, we'll take it one game at a time, or do you try to up the intensity when taking on a team like Pike?
Well, each week we up the intensity just because it's the next big game on our schedule. You know, when we get done playing this game Friday, on Saturday morning, we'll talk about the next big game is the Center Grove Trojans, and we're going to have to do this, this, and this. And the coaches jump in and start working right away. So each game carries its own intensity. Our kids understand what's at stake. They, you know, I hope we've gotten to the point where if things do go bad, you know, like they did sometimes last year with the first Warren game and the first Carmel game, that our kids are mature enough, and you never know. You just don't know, to be able to overcome, all right, that happened, but we're still able to do this, this, and this. You know, this is our first conference game. We always talk about winning the MIC conference, which is one of the toughest things in all of sports in this state to do, is win the MIC conference in football, because you look at all the rankings and Carmel's in the top 10, and Warren's 0-2 in the top 10. And, you know, Carmel's in the top 10. Center Grove's in the top 10. Pike's up there in the top 13.
Lawrence North scoring in bunches.
Lawrence North scoring 65 a game or whatever it is, some obnoxious number. And so we're all up there. I was told North Central's defense is significantly better. And Lawrence Central's just kind of, they got some athletes, are just kind of trying to find their way. So it's brutal. You know, Pike's going to be an awesome test for us, and see where we're at.
All right, well, Ben Davis does play Pike this Friday. Final thoughts, Coach?
I need Purple Rain. Oh, my God. That had to be one of the largest student sections I have ever seen at a Ben Davis football game. And I have been here for 16 years. My challenge is make it bigger. You know, make it bigger. Make it the pride of the West Side.
All right, well, like we said earlier, Ben Davis does play Pike this Friday. We will bring you coverage starting at 7 o'clock and pregame starting at 6. Thanks to Gabby back in the studio, and also thanks to everyone out there for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis. We'll be back same time next week live from the Arby's on West 10th Street. So now we're going to send it back to the studio.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
He gets a snap, looks out to his left, throws it out, and it's going to Zion Blow. Touchdown, Giants! Ajay gets a snap, looks out to his right, looks to his left, tosses it way deep to the 11 and caught. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. That is touchdown, Giants.
Wow.
The 11 of Reese Taylor.
77 yards.
Karina lines up and runs up for the kick. Kicks it high and deep. Wilkerson receives about the 8-yard line. Gets around past the 20. Jukes out side to the 25 to the 30. 35, 40, 45, 50, 50. 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants. Wilkerson takes it all the way. That is a touchdown.
92 yards.
All right, well, here we go. Purple Rain's getting loud. Ajay Cooper takes the snap. Hands it to Evans. Evans dives. He's in.
Touchdown
Giants. Oh. Chris Evans scores for the Giants from a 1-yard run. Peters awaiting the snap. Gets it, looking to his left, throws it to Moore. Intercepted! 44 takes it to the 5-yard line!
Let's go!
Giants at the 3-yard line, and it was picked off! Cooper gets a snap, looking, toss it over to Zion Blow through the middle! 50,
go!
30,
go, go, go!
30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 70-yard touchdown to Zion Blow!
There you go!
And the Giants are back in the game! Cooper waiting the snap, gets it, looking to his right. Tosses out to Chris Evans on the screen. Gets the ball past 50. The 45, gets around to the 40.
There goes Chris.
35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10.
Oh!
Touchdown, Giants, Chris
Evans.
There it was. He is waiting the snap. Giants showing blitz. He gets it, fakes it to low.
Ooh.
And hit. And it's gone. 50, 40, 30. 10, 5, touchdown, touchdown Giants.
I'm Cole Bartek, and I'm here with Sean Brown, and this is the Ben Davis Sports Update. It was yet another great week in Ben Davis Sports. The boys' tennis team won 5-0 over Covenant Christian School.
Girls golf defeated Perry Meridian 168-181, but they also lost with a score of 171-185 against Plainfield on Friday.
The Ben Davis Lady Giants lost a tough game to Pike with a score of 7-4. The Ben Davis boys soccer team defeated Arsenal Tech 1-0. Junior varsity boys soccer defeated Lawrence Central 4-0. And varsity boys soccer lost to LC 2-1.
In the purple pool, the Ben Davis Lady Giant volleyball team spiked the competition over Terre Haute North, 25-23, 22-25, and 15-13. In the crossover, the third place Ben Davis Ladies Giant volleyball team over Whiteland, 25-12 and 25-15.
And that was your sports update. I'm Cole Bartek.
And I'm Sean Brown.
Giants left have recovered, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
Welcome back to Mick Talk, ladies and gentlemen. The Mick this week had a lot of crazy games, starting off with Ben Davis barely beating Avon 49-42. Fishers defeating Pike 20-8. Center Grove defeated Whiteland 37-0. Hamilton Southeastern blew out North Central 41-14. Chittard beat Lawrence Central 17-10. And Lawrence North demolished Brownsburg 65-47. Warren Central and Carmel both traveled down to Cincinnati to take on Cincinnati Colerain and Cincinnati LaSalle. Warren was defeated 27-16 by Cincinnati Colerain, and Carmel was defeated 35-28 by Cincinnati LaSalle. Now moving on to the other 6A games around the state of Indiana, Penn defeated Merrillville 31-12. Southport was defeated by Westfield 40-36. Perry Meridian and Decatur Central went to overtime, and Decatur Central prevailed, winning 32-25. Franklin Central was demolished by Roncalli 34-7. Columbus North was defeated by Columbus East 28-21. Carroll blew out Fort Wayne South 60-7. Homestead defeated Fort Wayne North 51-28. Crown Point was defeated by Mishawaka 21-0. Chesterton defeated Munster 22-6. While Portage was defeated by Lowell 42-28. While Jefferson defeated Seymour 35-22. New Albany was blown out by Castle 45-19. East Noble edged out Warsaw 34-23. And Lake Central defeated East Chicago Central 54-14. Tech was blown out by Kokomo 61-27. And in the final 6A game of Week 2, Cathedral also traveled down to Cincinnati to take on Cincinnati Muller. They were defeated 21-19. Now moving on to the Week 3 MIC games, the first one is Ben Davis taking on Pike. Next, we have Carmel taking on Center Grove, Lawrence Central taking on Lawrence North, and Warren Central taking on North Central. Moving on to the other 6A games around the state of Indiana in Week 3, Penn takes on Brother Rice in Michigan, Southport takes on Perry Meridian, Lake Central takes on Portage, while Columbus North takes on Bloomington North. New Albany takes on Jennings County, while Jeffersonville travels to Bedford North Lawrence. Noblesville takes on Fishers, while Homestead takes on Fort Wayne Dwenger. Warsaw takes on Plymouth, while Carroll takes on Fort Wayne North. Fort Wayne Northrop takes on Fort Wayne Snyder, as Cathedral takes on Mishawaka. LaPorte takes on Valparaiso, while Crown Point takes on Merrillville. Crown Point takes on Merrillville, while Chesterton travels to take on Michigan City. Franklin Central takes on Bloomington South. And in the final 6A game of the week, Hamilton Southeastern takes on Avon. This concludes the MIC and 6A update. Join us next week as we take a look at what happened in Week 3 and what will happen in Week 4. I'm your host, Corey Vervaines.
We have come together.
We have come together.
Fight for victory.
Fight for victory.
Best friends with one another.
Best friends with one another.
I want my family.
I want my family.
So come on, Giants.
Come on, Giants.
Join us with the fun.
Join us with the fun.
Our team is finally ready.
Our team is finally ready.
Fight for number one.
Fight for number one.
Our team includes many things.
Help us win this fight.
Girls, pride, boys.
Girls, pride, boys.
Show us what is right.
Show us what is right.
If we don't do this right,
we don't do it right.
We'll find out what's wrong.
We'll find out what's wrong.
Our team will never give up.
Giant 90.9.
Touchdown! 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 Touchdown!
Ben Davis Giants football. Ben Davis Giants football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
And as they say, Brandon, it all comes down to this.
Corey Nutty! No signal yet. And we wait. We wait. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
Wow! First and goal from the 15. Levinson and Robinson split wide to left. I formation behind Gray. Williams is the tailback. Porter the fullback. Gray takes it. Hands it off to Porter up the middle. He's at the five.
It's
touchdown,
over! It's
Giants.
Over! It's
ben
over!
Ben Davis wins on the face of Connellon Porter.
And the snap is terrible. Ed Banks is going to have to pick it up. And he's going to launch it. No plant. Oh, he is going to be sacked. No, Banks breaks it. Here comes Banks on the left side. He has room. He gets a beautiful block. Banks cuts up the middle. Here comes James.
He has a first down.
Up in the 50, the 45, the 40. Banks gets a 90.
He's going to go.
Touchdown. Touchdown, James Banks.
Oh, my goodness.
Woo.
That is about the most amazing play I've ever seen.
The season comes down to this. Damon Bide on the field goal. The snap is good. The hold is down. The kick is... Gone! Gone! Damon Bide wins it on a 56-yard field goal.
Your source for Ben Davis Sports. Giant 90.9. WBDG, Indianapolis.
Well, here we go again, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time again to renew what has become one of the area's biggest rivalry games, the West Side rivalry between Pike and Ben Davis. Just 10 years ago, if someone would have said, Pike and Ben Davis would be a marquee matchup.
Others would have greeted the assertion with stares and scoffs. Much of that changed when Pike brought on Derek Moyers to coach their football team.
Coach Moyers brought a new attitude to the Red Devils football program, and success followed, especially over Ben Davis. Coach Moyers is now gone, calling offense at Warren Central. Replacing Moyers in the head coach role is Jimmy Graves. As with every new coach, Coach Graves has already made some changes, but it's always the same deal with Pike. Speed, talent, and great players all over the field. The Giants are just hoping that their speed, their talent, and their great players can show the skill to defeat the Pike Red Devils this evening. Whatever happens, this game is always worth the $6 price of admission. For the 41st time, the Giants of Ben Davis battle the Red Devils of Pike. Live from Giant Stadium, the game is next. Tonight's game on Giant 90.9 is made possible by our underwriters, Classic Kings and the Harrison.
10-5! Touchdown! Touchdown, Giants! Touchdown, Giants! Touchdown, Giants! It's the 56!
Six.
It was the number six of LaShawn Minor.
Wow!
Picked the ball up and took it all the way.
For coverage of tonight's game, we take you live to the stadium. And WBDG sports analysts, Cole Bartek, Sean Brown, and the voice of the Giants, Corey Vervaeghe.